ABC Radio Australia.
Uncertainty surrounds an Australian aid mission set to dock in Tonga this morning. Almost two dozen personnel on board the Australian Navy HMAS Adelaide tested positive to COVID-19. It's carrying vital supplies and Chinook helicopters, which would be able to deliver aid and then return to the ship without Australian Navy personnel actually meeting people on the ground. But it's unclear if Tonga will give the personnel the green light to go ahead. Tonga is COVID-free, and it's determined to stay that way. It's taking extra precautions while delivering aid during the crisis. Australia says it is in the hands of the Tongan government over how to proceed. Australian Defence Minister Peter Dutton spoke about the situation. Keep in mind here that he incorrectly refers to the ship as HMAS Brisbane. It's actually HMAS Adelaide that has the outbreak on board.
Obviously, Tonga is very concerned about COVID. There are no cases in Tonga at the moment, and they're a vulnerable population. HMAS Brisbane has left with over 600 crew on board, but we do have a situation on HMAS Brisbane at the moment where 23 personnel have tested positive for COVID. So we'll work with the Tongan authorities to keep that vessel at sea to make sure that there's no threat. And obviously the Tongan government's discussing that at the moment internally as to, obviously they need the aid desperately, but they don't want the risk of COVID. So we'll work through all of that as quickly as we can.
That was Australian Defence Minister Peter Dutton there speaking on Sky News. Again, note that he says HMAS Brisbane, but the ship delivering supplies with the outbreak on board is actually HMAS Adelaide. And it's not the first time COVID has disrupted relief plans to Tonga. Last week, an Australian aid flight to Tonga was turned back after a crew member tested positive to COVID-19. Those supplies arrived on a later flight. Meanwhile, locals on the ground are doing what they can to help one another in the wake of the disaster. I spoke with Director of Tonga's Women and Children's Centre, Ofa Gutenbale Likiliki, about their work. She hasn't been able to contact staff on the outer islands since the eruption and tsunami hit. But I started by asking her thoughts about Tonga's COVID-19 dilemma.
And I think it's just taking precautions because, you know, we have very limited health resources. We actually had a repatriation flight due to arrive to Tonga on the Monday after the volcanic eruption. So the relief from the community and from the people on the ground here in Tonga is that, you know, thank God this eruption happened prior to the repatriation flight, because had it happened after, you know, we could have had a bigger chaos on our hands, having to both deal with community-borne and, you know, positive COVID-19 tests from passengers arriving, as well as the volcanic eruption. So it could have been a much bigger mess. So we're quite thankful that it happened prior to that planned repatriation flight. So it would be the same kind of feelings towards any ships coming in and bringing in resources from overseas.
Definitely, that would be a lot to juggle at the moment, COVID cases as well, as the impacts of the disaster. Now, I know, you know, the Women's and Children Crisis Centre has a lot to do on a daily basis when there isn't a disaster. You provide a lot of relief to women and children there. How has this disaster strained, I guess, the existing sort of support services that you provide? Has that been difficult as well to manage resources?
Yeah, so when the eruption happened, we have the only safe house on the island for survivors of violence against women and children. And we had occupants in the house, but we had to ensure the safety processes were followed. They were actually in a safe zone area, so they were able to stay at the safe house. And thankfully, because it happened on a Saturday, we usually do the stock up of the safe house on a Friday. So that kind of gave us some kind of sense of calm in knowing that we had, you know, prepared that for the safe house. But then, of course, ongoing, straight after the volcanic eruption, we had other referrals to the safe house. So it did, cause us concern In terms of if we get too many occupants referred, then we'll have to move and find some additional accommodation, which we are working on now, and we're also doing home visits to our clients. Like you said, it does add more work. We just continue doing what we do and knowing that we are contributing to the bigger cause, with everyone else helping out as much as they can, and making sure that our women and children don't feel, you know, that there is no help for them if they do find themselves in situations of violence or abuse during this time, which has proved a little bit more difficult compared to, say, for example, the aftermath of Cyclone Zeta and Harrod, because at least we still had the communication lines open. We were still able to use internet to communicate with our staff in the outer island. Now all of these are down. We can't use the internet. We cannot connect by phone to our staff in the outer island. We have absolutely no idea what their situation is there. We're just hanging on a prayer every day that our staff are safe.
I just wanted to finally ask how you're doing and how your family is. Are they doing well? Are they safe?
I recommended my family to higher grounding. We managed to stay with my husband and I, our four children, three of who are teenagers, inside the vehicle for 12 hours.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So I think that's a huge achievement. We were able to really test our communication skills. So there's a lot of storytelling happening in the vehicle. So I think that was another blessing in disguise.
That was Director of Tonga's Women and Children's Crisis Centre, Offa Gutenberg Liki Liki, speaking to me earlier.